parents are going to be excluded from Planned Parenthood as they write these clinics because the bill orders that these clinics protect patient privacy and student records. What does that mean? It means that parents will never know what kind of counsel and treatment that their children are receiving. And as a matter of fact, the bill goes on to say what's going to go on. Comprehensive primary health services, physicals, treatment of minor, acute, chronic medical conditions, referrals to follow-up for specialty care. Is that abortion? Does that mean that someone's 13-year-old daughter could walk into a sex clinic, have a pregnancy test done, be taken away to the local Planned Parenthood abortion clinic, have their abortion, be back and go on home on the school bus that night? Mom and Dad are never the wiser. They don't know any different.
God, Michelle, you crazy lady. Look, if all that stuff happened, the parents wouldn't be wise anyway because they would turn over everything to the clinic, what you call the sex clinic. Got that sex stuff on your mind, woman? It's ridiculous. You know, your kid can...
All right, restarting the streamer. Well, it's being one of those bloody days with the technology, isn't it? Well, damn. Sorry about that, David. And there went the chat room. There went everything. Ah. I think we're still going. Oh, to not be having to self-produce your own program. All right, I'm going to play a little track here while I get everything open back up. And so David was just about done there. And, whoop. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
I'm back.
And then the next question is like, am I back? Am I back streaming again? Seemed like we.
I don't know.
They must be doing work on the network up here or something, because my ADSL seems to have reset a couple times throughout the show here. So that's what that is.
I turned off the stream.
Yeah. I'm going back in the chat room, get a verification that I'm actually back on. Oh, it's so boring.
Yes, there's you are. Work.
Yeah. Sorry, folks. Ain't me. It's the provider this time. But what can we do for you, man?
Well, I'm at a loss for words right now because of this. Going in and out. I was in the head banging stuff a while ago, and old hippie stuff, and I'm thinking, man, next week I turn 58 years old, and I'm an old rocker, and you're talking about all this old stuff, and I'm thinking about the story I was going to tell you about the two guys from Sweden at the power plant.
Oh.
They came up to us yesterday when we were on break. I've been working overtime. I got laid off yesterday anyway.
Oh, shit.
But I was working at the power plant, and these two guys, they work for Siemens. You've heard of Siemens?
Yes, I know them well.
Okay. They come out, and they go, would you have a 2-meter ladder? And we just looked at each other, the three of us, they're sitting there. The guys go, 2-meter, and you go, a 6-foot ladder? Yeah, we have one of those. You want to borrow it? And then it was like, well, that's not tall enough. Well, take the 8-footer. That's 2.5 meters. But in this country, people don't know about meters. And I mean, we learned it when we were in school back in the day. But over there, they never learned about the whatever the crazy system we have.
Most Australians I know can quote the most common conversions off the top of their head.
Well, they were like at a loss. They were looking at us. One guy looks like, I forget his name, but he's got such long hair. And he looks like somebody from a rock band. I mean, hair down to his shoulders.
Mm.
And our morning safety meetings, everybody gives him shit, but he laughs it off. And I forget his name. Damn it. But they're so comical to associate with it. I mean, here we are working in the United States and these people from Sweden are over here to, work on our power plant because they build the stuff that goes inside of it and they have to certify it. And it's just like, what a small world.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize that day to day. Most Americans don't realize that. But everything that we're building and the world is building, I mean, we share with everybody. And people don't realize that, and it's...
Well, my thoughts go to why... See, I think it's problematic that some of the biggest infrastructure jobs we might be doing at the moment in the United States, the technology we're having to import, because we're not actually building it in America. Mm. And it's not an isolationist view. It's the idea that there's no reason why American companies can't be employing Americans to make the same things locally as opposed to bringing it all over from out of the country, including the brain power in which to, you know, make it all work. That to me is really unfortunate. It would be a whole lot better financially and for the general economy if more of this stuff was actually being produced within the United States, but it's not because we don't make anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, in general, we don't make anything.
We do, but it's just like certain parts of it. The building I was working in the last 2 weeks, or the last week anyway, the big metal building that was built in Atlanta, shipped to Redding, California, was originally, and now they built new control panels, these cabinets, they were built in Atlanta, Georgia. But the stuff that's on the compressor generator, the big thing that burns the gas, that turns the turbine, it's a turbine, it turns the generator that generates electricity. All that stuff is built in Sweden.
Right. Right.
But the stuff I was working on was built in Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, any blanket statement can be proven to be false somewhere. But in general, over the last few decades, business practice has been build it over there and bring it back. More and more, it's build it over there, bring it back.
Back.
And, you know, I think as energy gets to be more and more expensive, I think that will begin to impact that more than anything else, to where suddenly the money you save by having someone build it for $1 a day over in Indonesia doesn't work out quite so good when it costs you, you know, 50 times the value to ship it back to America to try and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Well, the race is on worldwide now to build the new green economy. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
the people here in the United, the Republicans here in the United States, they don't realize that. But China is going to clean our clock.
Oh, they've now made the decision. They're going to go green. It's like, mm-hmm. Look out, because You know, it's that situation of, you know, it's like, get become part of it, get out of it, or get the fuck out of the way. And
yeah.
Once the Chinese make a decision they're going to do something, they're going to do it.
They do it.
And they don't have, and, you know, I said this a couple weeks ago, you know, I don't want America to become, you know, a one-party dictatorship. But in this situation, I can kind of buy it because I'd almost wish that our politicians could just say, we're going to do this. End of story. We're going to do this. No one, you know, no more discussion. Pull your finger out. Let's do this. Which I think is what they're doing.
My nephew came through town a couple of years ago, and he says, he has a van. In the back of the van, he has a Chinese dirt bike. And he says, guess how much I paid for that? $1,250. I mean, how do you compete with them? I mean, it was like a 125cc dirt bike.
Well, you know, it's...
And it looks just like what the Japanese are building.
And, I mean, this
I mean, how do you compete with them?
Well, we used to compete when we had tariffs. You know, that idea that you should trade in things that you can't make yourself. But if you both make widgets and you trade with each other in widgets, you're only going to hurt the widget maker. Because when you trade in things, when two nations trade in things that they both can produce, it only ends up being a race to the bottom for the producer.
Can I ask you something? Do you know what a widget is?
Well, it depends on what kind of widget you're talking about. I was just kind of like an unnamed thing. Is what I was intending with that. But, yeah, they're web widgets. They're cutting widgets.
Well, I know what a widget is.
But you know what I mean? It's like if you both make pencils, you shouldn't be trading between one another.
I'll tell you what it is. You know when you have an overhead power line that comes into your house, that goes to a riser that comes out of your electrical panel.
Yeah.
And it goes to an insulator.
Yeah.
You know the thing that hooks into that insulator? That's a widget.
Okay. Learn something new.
It you know, if you ever looked at the overhead power lines, there's two lines, and then there's the bare, they're insulated conductors, and then there's the bare wire. Well, that's your neutral. It comes off the transformer that is grounded, and it's grounded at your house, but that the widget hooks to that bare wire.
Right. Right. I found the earthing for my house this weekend. The earth. Yeah, I can do either one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we've kind of gone all around the place a bit, but I sit there, you know, you're talking about jobs being in the green economy, and they absolutely are. And just like when the United States decided to build the railways, once the country actually pulls their finger out and gets on it, it will create a whole new economy.
Do you go to the Huffington Post?
Yes, I do.
Did you read where George Soros is investing $1 billion in the green economy?
I saw the headline. I had not actually had a chance to read the article, but that's great. See, I think the more that private enterprise and whatnot gets into it, actually the better. And you know, with Soros, you know, Google is one of the biggest investors in renewable energy in on the planet, because they understand without any electricity, well, their business doesn't really get to do very much. And so they've been consistently investing in green power and the new grid. Because they, you know, they realize if no one else is going to build it, they need to build it.
They're building electric parking garages.
Yep. solar
you
powered.
You know that.
Yep, and solar powered charging stations for electric bikes and things. They're smart, bloody people.
Yeah, before I leave you, did you read that article I sent you before the show started about the dust storms depositing the?
I had a quick scan of it, and I haven't actually had a chance to read the whole thing.
Protoplankton in the ocean that helps grow the fish?
Yeah, because we have a lot of dead zones in the oceans where the protoplankton and ecoplankton have been dying off, and that's the bottom of the food chain. And you lose that, that's even more damning for the whole ecosystem than losing big things like whales. So anything that could help actually beef up the smallest of these organisms, that's a real win. So, I mean, considering that a whole bunch of the breadbasket of Australia had, you know, its topsoil stolen,
mm-hmm.
if it's where it's actually dumped into the ocean, if it's having some benefit, that's a good thing.
Well, it's just nice to know that Australia has people with minds that can think about those things. And write about them.
You know, we do all right here. I still reckon that, you know, this little country of, you know, less than 25 million people sure, you know, kind of boxes above its weight class.
Yes, but I want to leave you with this one fact.
Okay.
That I'm sure is no doubt true. Australia is climate change incubator.
Yeah, we're the canary in the coal mine.
All thought about climate change is going to come from Australia, and we better listen to the people from down under.
Yeah, we get hurt. All models say we get hit first and worst, and I mean we're already getting hurt.
There's already a thing I forget where I saw it, but your red dust. It's going to hit Southern California, they say, because of the droughts and everything.
Sheesh. That's incredible.
Southern California is going to have experience the red dust, but we're going to get hit with a massive storm that's part of aftermath of a typhoon in the next day or so, which is really nice to see because we haven't seen so much rain in a long time. I look at my mountains and the glaciers are gone.
Mm.
First time in my life I've looked at Mount Shasta and Mount Lassen, and there's no glaciers.
And, I mean, those glaciers were there when I was still living there, you know, in the 90s.
When you were in Chico, you know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
you could look up the main road, and actually, I believe it was Mount Shasta that you could see right from the middle.
5-5?
Yeah, and you could see, in the middle of summer, you could still see the glacier up on top of the mountain.
Well, right now, there is no glacier on the south side of the mountain.
That's depressing, man.
It's gone.
That's
totally gone.
So where does Sierra Nevada get the water for their beer now?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, that was always one of the things. It was, you know, it was water off the glacier.
Well, it comes from Chico's down the road from Redding, and they probably got their stuff from Lassen and below Lassen.
Hmm. You know,
Bidwell Park. You've been to
I love Bidwell Park, man.
What the hell? What the hell was the name of that creek that can run right through Bedwell Park?
It's Chico Creek.
Chico Creek, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I know it well. You know, Lower Park and then the Upper Park and the Bidwells who gave that huge, beautiful piece of land to the city of Chico.
Did you ever go to the mansion right there by the college?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think it was in 1997, I think they remodeled it. they rebuilt, they redid the whole thing. I was an organizer then for my union. I went down there, but they redid the whole thing and fixed the front porch and the whole thing. And you know, that building just sits right on the east side of Chico State College, and it's like, it's weird, you know, the whole college is there, and here's this old freaking building sitting there.
Well, you know, the Bidwells were really, really clever. You know, that property and all of Upper Park, they rewrote the charter of the town to guarantee that these things would not be developed. There was history, and there was preservation for the local ecosystem. And I remember when I first moved to Chico, man, first time you go up to Upper Park, you get read the Riot Act about, you know, you take out more trash than you bring with you. Yes, you can bring glass bottles, but this place, you could go skinny dipping barefoot and never cut your feet anywhere because everyone respected the place. They knew that it was special.
That's the eco code.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, the first 6 months I was living there, you know, it was just kind of like, you know, I get pummeled with it again and be like, I know, leave me alone. But then once you're living there a year, you're the one badgering the new people coming into town. It's like, now respect what it is that you got here, because there's only one place like it in the world, you know, and but it works. It works, and
you damn right it does.
And it is one of the most special places, you know. And I love the fact that to go to Upper Park, there's a point that you hit where on the actual road it says, you know, continue further at own risk, you know, possible vehicle damage, blah 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 blah. And if someone's driving up, it can take them 45 minutes to get up to the top of Upper Park, but on a mountain bike, you'll get up there in 15 minutes.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, there was a devastating fire up on the ridge in Paradise.
Ooh. I didn't know that.
It was, I forget what it was called. It burned up a lot of people up in Paradise and Magalia and, you know, all those places.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you know, and see, like, it's a really unique area, just as far as just the topography, because like where Chico is and a lot of that area is everybody's in basically these mountain valleys. Mm-hmm. And what I found really interesting about Chico is 9 months of the year, it really was a rainforest because
it used to be.
It's now drying up like crazy. Because it used to be that winter, it like rained for 3 months.
You don't do that anymore, John.
That's what I was afraid of. That's what I I've always kind of been afraid to ask.
I'm hoping it'll do that this year if we get El Nino. I'm hoping it'll do that.
Well, it seems to be what's setting up. So while you'll get wet and we'll get hot and dry, and I'll be seeing your firefighters down here in the next couple of months, I reckon.
I hope not.
It's pretty much a guaranteed, man. And we've just had like a whole bunch of surprise, like lots of extra rain in a short period of time. So we're going to end up having a whole bunch of fresh growth for a whole bunch of new fuel.
I heard the bombers flying over today. There's fires going on in Trinity County somewhere towards Eureka.
Mm. It's, you know, you guys there and us here, we share that thing.
The whole state.
Yeah, California and Australia share this thing of understanding the power of fire and how the whole concept of the wildfire / bushfire season has completely changed in the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole new world. And it will never be the same again. It'll never be the same again. You've been in drought for 3, 4, 5 years. We're now like pushing a decade, really, without this drought breaking. So can you really call it a drought? It's actually just the new normal, isn't it?
For now. I mean, when you go up to Shasta Lake and it's just a big mud puddle, you know it's a drought. And you see stuff that you haven't, nobody's seen in 50 years since they built the dam. Stuff starts coming out of the lake that they haven't seen in years because there's no water.
It's scary stuff, and this is the stuff where, you know, you want to just grab a denier and, you know, like, bring them there and shake them and say, like, this is not what used to happen, and this is all following a fucking pattern, you moron. Now wake the fuck up and get with the program. You know, it's just like, you know, okay, you like to hunt? You want a place to still be able to hunt and actually have where there's wildlife to go hunt? Get with the program. You know, you're worried about water supplies? Get with the program! I mean, you know, where people sit there, oh, worried about water wars in years, but there ain't no climate change. It's just like, excuse me, could you just pull a bat out and just beat your own self over the head with it? That was just so stupid.
Yeah, like I was chatting with a guy last night who's in Thailand that still doesn't believe he lives in Thailand. Yeah, where we used to be stationed when I was in the Air Force. Through my UDPA group. And he says, I still don't believe in global warming. I said, well, I looked at Mount Shasta the other day, and the glaciers on the south side are gone. Tell me what's up with that. I've never, in 58 years of my whole life, I've lived in Northern California. I've never seen Mount Shasta without a glacier on the south side of the mountain. But they're gone. I don't know about the other side towards Oregon, but the south side, they're all gone. I looked up at Lassen. There's no glacier there anymore. It used to be there for years. Lassen is a volcano, and there used to be a huge glacier that came down the side of it that you could see from the valley. It's gone.
Right.
So what do you want to tell me?
Do you get any response?
You know, he just says, well, he says it was a cyclonic temperature change, cold weather. I mean, the Republicans want to think about, well, it's colder than it is in this certain place. Yeah, but it's colder than it ever was in this certain place. Well, that's not climate change.
Yeah, and that's where, you know.
They don't understand global warming. I mean, they just don't understand what's happening with global warming and climate change.
It's too hard. It's too hard, Sparky. This is where I really think it comes down to, is it's too hard. You know, it comes in the, I don't feel like I can do anything by myself to deal with this, so I'm going to deny that it's happening because I live an isolated life. And, you know, and it's just about me, my barbecue, my, you know, my four-wheel drive, and you know, my 14 kids, and not actually thinking about the fact that it's not about them personally. See, some of these people, I think, take this whole, you're trying to keep me from living the lifestyle that I want to. And so it ends up being them feeling guilty about their own wasteful life. And, you know, having to shock these people into changing is going to be pretty hard.
Yes.
Instead of them taking it as, you know, what we believed for a long time isn't really true, or it's not sustainable, so we all need to change up the way we do things. They don't hear the "we all" part. They just hear it as me. I have to give up something. And I think it's one of those things where the way the whole thing's portrayed ends up being easy to distort and easy to scare.
And but you don't have to give up anything.
I know, but I know, mate.
You just have to change the way you live.
Yeah, and see, a lot of people, that change idea scares the crap out of them. That's why they call themselves conservatives. because they don't like to change.
I know that.
All right, Sparky, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to, because I'm going to try and get a couple of more tunes off this record on, even though I didn't actually get to properly review it. But, and we'll probably talk to you next week, my friend.
John, it's always good to talk to you, and stay green.
All right, man, you take care.
All right.
All right. And as our good friend Sparky up there in Northern California, up in Redding, a beautiful, beautiful place, obviously drying out like everywhere else. But before we get out of here, I'm going to play another couple of tracks off this album, because I haven't really, I was going to do like the full-on review, but, you know, we get talking and all that, and we'll play more of this as time goes on. But to get back to where I was, is this the greatest Alice in Chains record ever? No. Is it the perfect album for them to make now? Yes. And I think it was, I think, in short, this album is very much, hi, we're still here, we're still alive. We miss our dead friend. We lost someone in the family, but we've got someone new in the family, and we still would like to continue and make music that challenges others. Because I do think, you know, they're sonically challenging, and you only have to look at the number of bands that they've influenced. And I also think it's going to be fun that it's been so long between records for this band that there is a whole new audience that never even experienced the band the first time, and for them it's going to feel like a new band. And so I see a bunch of dads my age with their kids going to the shows and just rocking out together. I think it'll be good. But as usual, the lyrics are really pointed, and everything's very close to the surface. And I'm thinking that this song is, and this is one that it hasn't really gotten much play, and doesn't seem to get that much attention in a lot of the reviews that I've been reading. But there's a track in here called When the Sun Rose Again. And I'm wondering if this is, I'm assuming that this is pointed at the naysayers and probably the media that continually, as, you know, the band years ago would get win awards and get accolades and all that, all they could ever do was report on the chemical abuse problems. But yet what made them so endeared by their fans was the music and the honesty. And so I think this track definitely goes at that. This is one of the acoustic pieces. Again, they've created an album of songs that touch very much on what the band was about. It almost sounds like 2 years after Dirt, and they made this. But I love the lyric in this track. When the sun rose again, off black gives way to blue.
Thank you.
the Sun Rose Again off Alice in Chains' new album, Black Gives Way to Blue, and I think we got time for one more. And I might wrap up kind of this, the rest of some of what I wanted to convey in all this next week. Because I think it'd just be wrong for me to play the title track and just bail out on the show, because there's a lot that goes with that. And see, I do believe that there's a lesson to be learned here when it comes to abuse, friendship, like drug abuse and friendship, and how bands become families, and that whole Beatles versus Elvis kind of thing. But another one of the tracks that I think isn't getting quite the exposure, but it's still early days. Still oily days. But I reckon this will be really good, just straight rock radio fare. And maybe this slightly, I'm not saying commercial, but like, I don't know, there's something, and I'm reckoning this has got to be some of William's influence coming into the band. That there's just a bit less metal, more rock, and there's nothing wrong with it, but I don't know, there's little touch of the rock star, but it's good. It's a track called Lesson Learned. I really like this, and I just think that this will do great on radio. folks, and that was Lesson Learned off the new Alice in Chains. We'll finish up a couple of those tracks next week, because there's like, yeah, I got to talk about a couple of those. I'm going to talk about Elton John and all that crap, too. So it's going to be, it's all a bit all over the place. But hey, that's how it ends up on this show, because you all call in and pull me wherever you want to pull me. So, and that's what it's supposed to be all about, conversation radio. And so with that, and as John reaches over here, oh, I need, sometimes need an extra arm. With that, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks to Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives. Without him, we couldn't do any of this. Thanks to Gene, the chief news ninja and news producer for this show. Thanks for everything that you do. You can find all the stuff that Gene's posted over at foxedup.headonradionetwork.com. Don't forget to drop a donation in the kitty, and as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you next week.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people, we don't apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man, I think you'll do. So I took off my hat, I said, imagine that, cut me, working for you. What gives you the right? Membership card to get inside. Around the plate at the end of it all, I didn't have a penny to pay.